Well, thank you for joining me. Let's pray. We'll pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy right now. If you have a need or an intention, I'd love to take that. You can always join us, 888-914-9149. That'll get you into the call screener here. Of course, you can post your intentions on our Twitter page, at Drew Mariani Show. And Maggie's going to share a few of those a little bit later. I was reading a little bit over the weekend about the Holy Father. And he gave his, of course, Sunday Angelus. And he said something that struck me, and I want to pass it along to you, just because I know many of us often pray for healing. It could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be psychological. You may be suffering in lots of different ways. The Holy Father, he does this little catechesis on Sundays. And he said that, you know, the most difficult situations, you know, those that constitute the litmus test for you, is when you are called to forgive, to love your enemies, right? He says, look at the gospel. The gospel said, you know, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other. And that's what he's calling us to do. And I was struck by that because I think of what the diary of St. Faustina says. The Lord told Faustina that not only are we called to forgive, especially those who persecute us, that's scriptural, that's right out of the gospel, it's right what the Holy Father said. But diary entry 7742, the St. Faustina recorded, she said, the Lord told her, I demand from you deeds of mercy, right? That you're to show mercy to your neighbors always and everywhere. Never shrink from it or try to excuse or absolve yourself from it. And how often do we think, I'm not going to show mercy to this person? We make an excuse, we absolve ourselves, we do whatever we can. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you're holding on to some unforgiveness right now. You know, maybe you are in a very difficult situation, and yet you're praying to God, asking for healing or an answer to prayer. The scriptures, the Holy Father, St. Faustina, the great saints. Sometimes unforgiveness is the juggernaut, the obstacle that blocks the path to healing, you know, that clogs the channels of grace. And it's hard to forgive. I get it. It's an act of the will to forgive. But I want to encourage you to do it today. That husband or that wife who was not faithful to you, forgive. That neighbor, that coworker, that person you're in business with. You know, whatever injustice you encountered, whatever hurt you have endured. You don't have to forget. You don't have to go back into an abusive or some sort of dysfunctional relationship. But we are called to forgive. And just tell the Lord you do. I say, Lord, I don't feel it intellectually. I don't want to, but I know I'm called to do it. Therefore, I forgive this person. Do it. And then open your heart to God and ask him for the grace that you need to heal. And then ask him for what you're asking, that healing, that financial blessing, whatever it is. I really think that this is something that often people wonder why their prayers aren't answered. We must forgive. We will be measured with the cup with which we measure, right? We're going to be judged on how we forgive. So, you know, let's do it right now. Let's ask God to heal us internally of any wounds that we might have, any unforgiveness we're holding on to. And let's just ask that those channels be open so the floodgates of God's grace and mercy can pour into them. Those obstacles in our path to holiness can be disintegrated, removed. All right, we'll do that together. I'm praying today with Chris Flood. She's a colleague of mine, long time here at Relevant Radio. It's always a delight to share the microphone with her. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Anything you want to pray for as we kick it off?
Yes, I was looking at so many of our prayer intentions from our listeners and donors, and many of them are for people suffering from cancer. So I would like to pray for anyone who is suffering from cancer in their families to give them healing and relief in some way, whatever God's will is.
I'd be glad to do that. I know you personally have lost a lot of loved ones from cancer. So I often think of the pain that you and your family have gone through. I think it's such an important prayer. We'll pray now, and I want to pray for you, Chris, and for all of the needs and personal tensions you have. So let's start. We'll turn to the Lord right now as we do every afternoon and begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls. And the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Amen. And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, I just want to lift up everyone who can't get through on the phones today and everyone who's united with me in prayer. And again, I just think of the scriptures, you know, in Luke, forgive and you will be forgiven, right? And Lord, I just ask that you give us the ability to forgive those who so deeply wounded us. Today, I ask for internal healing. I pray for physical healing, of course, but I do pray for the healing of the heart, the healing of the mind, healing of those soul wounds that so many carry, some of those wounds that they don't even recognize that they carry. And today, I ask this to be a new day for so many souls, that healing takes place, that the obstacles in their path to holiness are removed. Tess in Phoenix, you are our first call today. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling because I'm facing a recent and unexpected diagnosis of ovarian cancer.
Oh, no.
And I am supposed to have a CT scan scheduled, and I'm hoping to schedule it as soon as possible for this week and to get into surgery as soon as possible. But ultimately, I'm praying for complete healing from this affliction and for my family through this time.
Yeah, well, we're here for you, and we're with you, and we'll be with you through this whole process, okay? We'll be praying. And I love your attitude, because you're right. Let's pray for total healing, if that's God's will. If not, then let's pray that the Lord will use medicine or surgery or whatever is necessary to facilitate your healing. I lift you up right now. Hang in there, okay? Tess, we're with you.
Thank you.
And we're going to pray with you. I know how I'd be a nervous wreck. Lord, I just pray that any anxiety, any fear, any concern can just be removed. That you just blanket Tess in your mercy, and that you allow whatever you intend for her to be an opportunity to bring great grace to her and to many souls. And I do pray for healing, though, Lord. Allow her to call back and say, you can't believe this. I no longer need the surgery. So, Heavenly Father, I ask for your mercy on Tess. And I do pray for all those facing cancer, especially something as serious as ovarian cancer. I pray for those under treatment for it now, those facing surgery. And I give you this wretched disease that has taken so many lives and causes so much havoc. Just ask for an end to cancer, for a cure to it, Lord. And for those going through it, that you embrace them in your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Beverly is praying with us in Long Prairie, Minnesota. Hi, Beverly. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Please pray for Sharon Anderson for spiritual and physical healing. Okay. She has the worst back that the doctor has ever seen, and she can't have a spinal block because of her heart medicine. She's also legally blind. And also for Beverly in southern Minnesota, who has been in the hospital since November from an accident. Thank you.
You got it. All right, Beverly, thank you. We'll lift up that intention now. And Lord, I pray for, again, all those who are in need of healing, for Sharon's physical and spiritual healing, for Beverly. And I give you all those who are united with me now. I really believe today you're going to work in a powerful way when it comes to cancer, and when it comes to the healing of the body. And I just thank you for that. Lord, we ask also that you accept our offering of our sacrifice and our suffering, that it becomes meritorious, that it becomes efficacious, that it becomes powerful and transformative. And I just pray for those in those dark times that are suffering, Lord, that you'll just let your mercy envelop them. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, you can always, you know, join us on our Twitter page too, at Drew Mariani Show. Please follow us there and post your prayer intentions. We share them. Maggie shares them every afternoon with me here, and we pray for them together. Of course, you're always welcome to call and join the conversation. And thank you for those who've been sending me your answered prayers. You can send answer prayers to Drew at relevantradio.com. And the byline, put answered prayers. I love sharing them, and I'll share a few of them this week. But Nancy is praying in the land of Lincoln in Illinois. Hi, Nancy. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. I love your show, and I just calling to ask for prayers for my grandson. He has to go on March 7th for an evaluation. He has a blood clot, and they might have to remove his leg, and he's only 31 years old. And hello?
I'm hello? Right here, Nancy. Nancy, I'm right here. I'm listening.
Okay. And a friend of mine is having surgery at 6:30 tomorrow morning for his a tumor in his lung. And if you could keep him in your prayers during his surgery and that, for his recovery, and that the cancer is completely taken away. And then for my sons to come back to the church, and for our church prayer prayer chain, and for all prayer chains for our whole, all our families.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's pray for those. Nancy, hang in there, okay? We're going to pray. I'm glad you got through today. A lot of prayer coming for those intentions. And, of course, Maggie, who is monitoring the Twitter, let's include on this decade as well those who are praying with us and who have not been able to get through on the phone as well. So we'll add them to Nancy's intention. What's coming in, Mags?
We got a note saying, please pray that the family of Araceli agrees to move her care to a hospital that can better serve her needs. Araceli has Down syndrome and has been hospitalized for weeks with COVID. She's been losing a lot of weight and needs a lot of care beyond what this current hospital can provide. Chris wrote to us and said, for my brother-in-law having a quadruple bypass tomorrow. Jeff wrote to us and said, please pray for me and two other coworkers that we're not in trouble at work. And also for a dear friend, Robin, and her intentions. Angelica wrote to us and she said, please pray for the repose of the soul of my neighbor, Kathy, who died suddenly. Carol wrote to us. She said, Drew, please pray for a woman named Chris. She was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma recently and is undergoing chemo. And then this one made me smile. Brent wrote to us and he said, I just want to pray in thanksgiving for my wife, Gabrielle, our marriage, and our five children. God be praised. Yeah.
Wow, beautiful family, five children. Mm-hmm. Maggie, what was that intention about the guys at work?
It just said, please pray for me and two other coworkers that we're not in trouble at work. Mm. And I think he actually wrote after hours on Friday and said, I'm worried Monday or Tuesday we're going to find out if something happened at work. So his name is Jeff. So let's lift them up.
Jeff, we're going to pray that all turns out okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's certainly do that. And I love the intention. You know, we always petition God. I think it's so good to thank him, even when we have crosses, even when we have trials. But to thank you for the blessing of your spouse and for your children and for where you are right now. I mean, this is all part of God's divine plan. He's with you. He brings good out of the situation. And, you know, one day we'll look back at these opportunities to suffer and to struggle. We're on the other side of the veil. We'll wish that we've embraced it with even greater love and greater acceptance. So, Lord, I pray for that as well. I just give you my heart. I unite it to all who are praying now. We give you these intentions. All those that are being lifted to you, we also thank you for your mercy and for your cross and for the crosses you give us. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Mike is praying in Goodwin, South Dakota. Good to hear from South Dakota. Hi, Michael. Good afternoon.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me on. I'm asking for prayers for my son, Ethan, okay, who's going to be leaving home tomorrow morning to go to culinary school out in the Rapid City, South Dakota area. And I'm just asking for prayers that he does well, doesn't get into trouble. He's 20 years old, and he really likes to cook.
Please
pray.
Look, I will do that right now, and I would pray for you too, Mike. You have great peace, and that blessing that God has given you and your son, that you'll continue to rejoice and revel in. And the Lord's here to support us in everything, large and small, right? So we need to trust him every day, no matter how difficult the situation is or, you know, how common it might be. God is with us always in the small struggles, just as he is in the big struggles, and we should pray for big things and little things. And Lord, I entrust to you Mike's son. I entrust to you my sons, my daughters. I entrust to you all who now pray with me. And we just ask for your protection and for your blessings, for your healings, for your providence, for your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Sue is praying in Oak Lawn, Illinois. Sue, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a huge fan of your show. I'd like to pray today for greater reverence for our Lord in the Holy Sacrament of Communion. On Saturday at Mass, the host fell out of my hand during communion, and I was so upset by that. I bent down, and I picked up our Lord and consumed him, but our Lord put it on my heart to pray for people to receive him worthily and to receive him with greater love and respect. So that's my intention for today. Thank you so much.
I just love that intention. That is so great. Sue, thank you for calling him for that. You know, in the days ahead, we'll be talking a lot more about the Eucharist. St. Faustina had all sorts of encounters with our Lord in the Eucharist. Times when he came out, times when the host levitated, I mean, all sorts of things. And I, you know, he's truly present. And I love your respect for it. And I think it's such a great intention because I think so many souls, he told her, when they go to the Eucharist, when they go to communion, when they go to receive him, they treat him like he's a dead object. He's a dead object. There's so much grace awaiting a soul with a receptive heart. And yet we go up and we treat him without any preparation, without believing he's truly present. And I think it's a great tragedy. It's a great offense against God. And I love that. I love that. I love that intention. Let me grab a few more calls. This is the fifth deck, and I want to add that to Sue. And Sue, thank you for calling in with that. I love that. Angela is in Illinois. Hey, Angela, thanks for praying with us as well. Good afternoon.
Yes, hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'm so thrilled that I was able to get in today. I'd love to pray for my parents who have been married for over 52 years. And I would love, this is a prayer that I've been praying ever since I was in Catholic elementary school, that they can just be able to reconcile and get along, because it's something that's been affecting her four children, which means now four families. And so we just want them to just let things go, forgive each other, and then just show love and forgiveness. Thank you.
So they're married 52 years, and they're still together, though, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. All yes. Right. They don't believe in divorce and all, and but yes.
Yeah. No, look, Satan hates marriage, and he hates family, and he loves to divide. So let's pray for that spiritual healing that this relationship needs. And let's pray for all broken marriages right now, where there's infidelity, where there's abuse, where there's mistrust, where the relationship has grown tepid or cold, where there's addiction, where there's anger and animosity. And Lord, I pray for the collateral damage so often of the loved ones that surround that couple suffer in their own ways. I pray for Angela's parents. This is a prayer I know you hear, Lord. I'm convinced of it. I believe that. You said anything we ask of in virtue of your passion, anything we ask of through this chaplet, it'll be granted if it's according to your will. And I know you want marriages together. So, Lord, I lift up this intention. I lift up all those who have called in right now, those who are on hold, those most in need of your mercy. I pray for the woman about to terminate her child. I pray for the person who wants to harm themselves, maybe even take their own life. And I want to pray for that person who wants and is tempted by infidelity. I want to pray for all those who are in religious life who are also being tempted, those who are having crisis in vocations. I want to pray for those struggling financially, struggling with health. But I want to pray for those who just grown cold in their faith. And I ask for mercy on this country, mercy on the world. I ask you to protect us from degeneration, disaster, and war, and that you disengage and dissipate the conflict that's now brewing in eastern Ukraine. And we just give to you these situations. We ask for your mercy, Lord. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Venerable Samuel Mazzucchelli,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when we come back, I want to fill you in on a trial that could have worldwide effects on the persecution of religion and its freedom. It's a big story. I'll plug you in on the other side. And I also want to share with you a prophecy, an encounter with a man who I once interviewed when in Canada for a documentary I was working on. He had a vision of the Mother of God when he was being put to death. I'll tell you what his prophecy had to say and whether or not had to say, and whether or not we are beginning to see that unfold right now with Russia and Ukraine. All that and more coming right up.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
What was going through your head when you're being interrogated, like you said, for 10 hours? I mean, I can't imagine having to go through that and having to defend in front of police what scripture is like. So can you just give us an insight into how your faith played into helping carry you through that process?
Yes. In fact, I have to say that I felt that the prayers were answered, because I felt a very big joy to sit there and testify about my faith to police. Inside me, I said to Lord that, thank you, Lord, that I can now sit here and tell to the policeman, who was polite. He was polite. I feel that this is very frightening, the situation for Finland. But at the same time, I feel that this is my calling now, to stand behind these statements and to fight for the freedom of speech and religion. And I believe that God has something in his mind for Finland and for us.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was an interview with Päivi Räsänen. She's a member of parliament who is the former Ministry of the Interior for Finland, and is facing criminal charges for posting scripture on her social media account. Can you believe that? It was considered by the LGBT groups as hate speech. And you heard her say, hey, it was an honor to be able to testify to the truth. Look, I was a little surprised by this story. I know sometimes when things are abroad, as Americans, sometimes we're not as connected, but Finland is not a country. And when it came from this nation, and I thought, this really isn't a country that you associate with oppressing religious freedom. You think of China, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, right? Iran, places like that. Those are the countries that come to mind when you think of oppression, when you think about how they want to crush religious freedom. The official state religion in Finland, it's Lutheranism. But you know, other religions are free to exist, you know, it's not harassment from the government. That's why this court case is important. I want to talk about this. I think it has global ramifications. It's turned a lot of heads, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it to you early. We'll continue to track and see where this goes. I've been warning you. I said, you know, after the Obergefell decision, after we saw a lot of these other things, I said, the ripple effect of this, the next great challenge for us here in the States is going to be greater attack on our religious freedoms. And I think you see that. Let me tell you about this story, and we'll speak to Joy Pullman about that as well and get you up to speed on what's happening. This woman, Päivi Räsänen, as I said, a former member of parliament and a Lutheran bishop named Juhannan, I think it was Puyola. They're on trial for literally quoting the Bible. That's all they did. This happened back in June of 2019, where, you know, Rossinen tweeted out a picture of the first chapter of Romans, where St. Paul warns about those who engage in these types of acts, homosexual acts, and people complained. They complained about that to the government, and she was actually charged with a hate crime. So this Bishop Puyola broke away from the official church because it was going along, you know, with the same direction that the, you know, the mainstream Western culture was heading, you know, and started his own Lutheran church. And in 2004, he published a small little booklet, wrote defending the classical Christian teachings on sex and on marriage. And his prosecutors were investigating the case of her tweet, you know, Rossinen's. They came across this booklet, which was written before the law, you know, they were accused of violating and was even passed, but they decided to prosecute this bishop as well. So what is at stake? What's at stake is 2 years of prison for those two, for quoting scripture, as well as a fine of, get a load of this, a third of Rossinen's annual income. And then public erasure of the documents and audio that she's made on the subject, and a financial penalty against the small religious organization that Puyola actually runs. And that's also at stake. But, you know, if the prosecutor loses at the district level, here's the weird thing. They can actually appeal the case all the way up to the European court. So you might win the case, but you might be drugged through the courts again. So that means that both of these people could be tied up in courts for years to come. Unlike the U.S., where quite often the prosecution gives its run, you know, and you know, you have as a defendant the right to appeal. Over here, the prosecutor can do that. So I'm joined right now by Joy. Let me get my mouth to work. Joy Pullman, the executive editor of The Federalist, and she's been following the case very closely, and I've been following her writing. You can find her work at this at thefederalist.com, and that's a great resource for you, so please do that. Joy, thank you for your time. I know you've had a very busy day, and I'm grateful for making time for the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm following this story, too. I'm very interested.
So how can a country with a Christian religion, as its official religion, prosecute people for believing in Christianity or for just quoting, you know, those tenets or quoting the scriptures, those Christian beliefs? I just don't get it. I'm having trouble getting my head around where the prosecution come off and have such strong grounds.
Well, I actually asked that exact same question to the woman who's being prosecuted in Finland, Päivi Räsänen, when I talked with her last week. And she said to me basically that, you know, the state churches, like a lot of state churches have been, it's basically in name only. You know, something like 70% of Finnish people are technically part of that state church, but very few of them. Yeah, I think it's 20%, maybe 25, 30% actually go to church regularly. So a lot of people, a lot of people really treat the church kind of as more of like a cultural thing. They show up to get their nice Instagram pictures at a baptism or a wedding, but they never darken the door outside of those kinds of events.
That's so true. So what are the charges? I mean, I went through some of the penalties for this, but what are they actually being charged with? Is it a hate crime?
Yes. So there are actually three charges against Mrs. Räsänen, and there is one that is connected to her against, as you mentioned, the Lutheran bishop, who he's basically being charged in connection with her for publishing a biblical pamphlet that he had asked her to write, and then he published back in 2004. And that actually, so what happened here was in 2019, as you mentioned, Päivi tweeted a picture of the Bible, and that's what got the state prosecutor to start investigating her, went back decades into her history of her public life. So now she's been a member of parliament, public figure, you know, for more than 20 years in Finland now, so there's a lot to go through. Basically, they spent all that time combing through her life, and they unearthed this pamphlet that she had written before there even was a hate crimes law in Finland. Mm-hmm. So, and then as part of that, they kind of swept in the bishop into this prosecution as well. And so she's, yeah, so she's being charged with, I mean, she's expressed in the book that's been translated into English. You can look it up and read it yourself. It's called Male and Female, He Created Them. It's really a basic exposition of classic Christian understanding that God made both sexes, that they are both good, and that what marriage means within Christianity is a man and a woman for life. So that encompasses both all kinds of heterosexual sins, such as adultery, premarital sex, as well as homosexual and other kinds of sexual sins. And so these are teachings held by, you know, all of the major world Christian denominations, as well as, you know, the dominant majorities of Muslim and Jewish faiths as well.
You know, as I was reading the story and learning a little bit more about the details, I discovered that unlike the U.S., a prosecutor here can appeal under certain circumstances, but over in Finland, the prosecutor loses. He or she can appeal the case, which generally is something that we wouldn't see. But, you know, these people could, you know, be drugged through the courts literally for years to come. There may be no peace for them. Yeah. How long do you think this will go, and how far up the chain will it ultimately, you know, if the prosecutor wins or if the prosecutor appeals? I mean, what are the global implications for this?
Right, and you were pointing out exactly. So this isn't just an isolated case in Finland. This specific case is likely to go not to at least Finland's Supreme Court, because both sides are highly likely to appeal, you know, no matter who loses this first round. And so that alone is going to take the case another, about another year and a half. Lawyers in Europe told me that I've talked with about the case. And if it does go to the Finnish Supreme Court and Päivi and Bishop Pohjola lose there, they could take it to the European Court of Human Rights, which would mean that this case would be affecting all of Europe. And we also know that, you know, the U.S. Democrats, the left in the United States, basically is trying to enact everywhere that they can, and they've succeeded in many places, exact, you know, copies of these same sorts of laws being used to prosecute these two Christians in Finland. So this is very much a live global issue for basically all countries that are, you know, Western influenced.
That's why I wanted to bring it to those who are listening. I wanted to understand, you know, so far something in Finland, like, how does that affect me? You know, that doesn't affect us here. If the prosecution succeeds, though, let's take a look at the opposite side. Let's say these people are vindicated. What does that mean for Christians being able to, let's say, proclaim the truth of what the Bible teaches in Europe, or what even happens, you know, to the Pope? I mean, what are the ramifications of this decision?
Yeah, I mean, if the two Christians win in court, it will really reaffirm historic Western commitments to freedom of speech and freedom of religion. I mean, as, you know, the Alliance Defending Freedom International attorneys I spoke with about this case mentioned to me, you know, all over Europe, the conflict between free speech and basically people's feelings, or identity politics, I guess you would say, is a very much alive issue, just like it is in the United States. And that's why we're seeing all these kinds of court cases. So, if the Christians, by the way, this prosecution of this law is unprecedented in Finland. So that means basically whichever way it goes, it will have a very strong effect, a reverberating effect on, you know, Europe as well as the United States.
Well, do me a favor, keep reporting on it. I think it's important. I want people to be aware of what's happening here. I know people can learn more and follow you at The Federalist, thefederalist.com. What do you see, just as a final thought here, just in terms of religious freedom, not just in Finland and in Europe, but here in our own country? Do you see an erosion of it, a greater attack on it, or attitudes changing? What do you see happening here?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. You have to, you know, the United States is no exception to this general worldwide trend that we right now have, you know, basically political prosecutions and prisoners, and some of them based on their Christian faith. So Jack Phillips, for example, the Colorado baker who was, you know, has basically took his case to the Supreme Court that had was very similar. You know, he was there were the folks who were having a gay wedding who were trying to force him to participate in that and using the courts to do that. And so even though he was vindicated at the U.S. Supreme Court in 2018, he's been dragged back into court. I mean, is still in court 10 years, you know, from the initial proceedings against him, because every time he wins in court, someone else calls them up and asks him to bake. This time it's a transgender transition cake, right? So this, again, this is not an isolated thing. This is something that U.S. courts are also allowing to continue, basically the weaponizing of our court system against people of Orthodox Christian faith.
Well, Joy, thank you. I wish I had more time today. I'm very grateful for your insight and for the time you gave to us today. Of course, Federalist.com, best place to check out Joy Pullman. She's executive editor there, that great publication. Hey, Joy, thank you. We'll catch
thank
up soon,
you.
Okay? Thank you. You stay with me. When we come, I have to take a short pause here. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more. I had promised I would share with you a little bit about Joseph Turalya and a prophecy that he was given in a Soviet gulag as Vladimir Putin threatens war with not just Ukraine, perhaps the rest of the world. Was there a warning that came decades ago for the Virgin Mary? I'll share with you the story. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Did the Virgin Mary issue a Russia-Ukrainian warning? Good afternoon. I'm Drew Mariani. Thanks for joining me. It's good to be here with you today. I had shared the story about a man I knew years ago when I was filming documentaries. I actually included the visions that took place in the former Soviet Ukraine. There's a few places in the world where the Virgin Mary has appeared visibly to the masses. One of those was in 1968 in Zaytun, Egypt, where she came and appeared literally to 250,000 Muslims and Jews and Christians and Orthodox. Everybody could see her. And she would appear over the course of about 2 years on the dome of a I believe it was a Greek Orthodox or Coptic church. And phenomena surrounded that. It was supposedly the very place where Joseph and Mary had resided on their flight into Egypt, in a place called Betania, Venezuela, which the apparitions of March 25th, 1984 received formal church approval. The Virgin Mary appeared about 105 people visibly there. I went there to film as well. I interviewed physicians and armies in the general and bishops and all sorts of people, very credible, high-ranking people who witnessed the Virgin Mary, saw her visibly at this site. And of course, in the Soviet Ukraine, during the time of communist oppression, people would gather at open-air shrines so they would not be caught by communist authorities. And there were reports of towering figures of the Virgin Mary appearing to the faithful. Well, back in February of 1972, that's 50 years ago, last week or a couple of weeks ago, the Ukrainian Catholic activist Joseph Turalya, he spent nearly 20 years in a Soviet gulag for his faith. And he was at a Vladimir prison in, it's about 100 miles northeast of Moscow, and it was at that prison that the Virgin Mary allegedly appeared to him. A good friend of mine, a guy named Michael Brown, he's the author of a book called The Final Hour. He wrote a book called Witness, too. If you want to learn more about Joseph Turalya, that's really the book to read. Mike wrote a piece about this not too long ago, and I'll share some of Mike's thoughts. I'll share some of mine. I find it very telling. Joseph Turalya was almost like an escape artist. He'd break out of these Soviet gulags and prisons all the time. So they put him in maximum security prison when they finally captured him. And it's reserved, you know, for really the most hardened criminals. You know, he was given 10-year sentence. People with life were put in this prison. And in the branch of the very frigid, very forbidding place known as Special Corpus II, they put him in a cell. And officials there decided without any official decree of death, you know, he was not sentenced to death. He had such a following amongst the people that they thought they'd just kill him. They'd do away with him. Now, he had been tortured. He had been beaten by the Russians for many years. You know, they tortured a lot of Catholics in the Ukraine. They killed tens of thousands of them. They created a famine that caused literally millions to die. They even nailed priests to the walls. Now Joseph Turalya is arrested. He's in this gulag. They placed him in cell 21. It's a so-called freeze cell. No heat. Now remember where you are. It's the winter. You're in Russia. They knew he'd freeze to death. And if he froze to death, there'd be no evidence that they killed him. So after years of trying to break him down, throwing, you know, doing all sorts of things, they said, you know what? Strip him of his clothes. They took all his clothes off him and they threw buckets of water on him in this freezing cell, you know, and this is the winter. And again, he refused to voluntarily remove the religious items he had. You know, they forced needles through his wrists. You know, they aimed spotlights at him to prevent him from sleeping. They were doing everything they could to torture this guy. So they finally get him in this horrible torture cell, cell 21. And his body's now wet. Temperatures are dropping. And his body's shutting down. He's going to freeze to death. His hair, he said, stiffened. His eyelids froze shut. He couldn't even open them. And they actually not only removed the clothes, they removed even the light bulb in his room. They didn't want any heat. And he laid down. He began to pray his rosary, again, to pray to the Mother of God. And as he was praying, again, his eyes were frozen shut. He felt a warm woman's hand on his forehead. And suddenly, warmth filled his body. His eyes were able to open. And there before him was the Blessed Mother. He claimed that she warmed the room. And what she said to him, she says, "You've called me, and I have come." You know, many years later, when I had the opportunity to speak to Joseph in Canada, you know, he would make assertions about new revelations that had to be discerned. But the experience in the prison really seems to be first tier apparitional authenticity. You know, it seems to have that authenticity, seems to be very authentic. This is February 12th, 1972. And suddenly the cell warms. Joseph is sitting there. The guards come by to see if he's dead. They couldn't believe it. They thought he was practicing some sort of yoga or some sort of mind control. They didn't understand how he could not freeze to death. And yet he was protected. They left him alone. But meanwhile, what happened was the Virgin, while she had appeared to him, reached out with her left arm and she gave him a vision of the future. Very much like what happened in Kibeho, Rwanda, where the kids were given a vision of the future, where the Virgin warned of rivers flowing with blood, a mass genocide, if the world did not respond to the evil with love, if they did not, you know, respond to what was looming. And the same thing here. She showed him a map and he saw a map and parts of it were burning. Russia, there were flames erupting all over Russia. The surrounding countries were also involved. And there were flames in various parts of the world. And it was what could happen, the Virgin said, if mankind does not come back to her son. It's the same thing that she said would happen in Rwanda, right? She showed them what could happen if we responded with love. Joseph said he saw entire landscapes. You know, he saw rivers that he recognized. He knew well the land. He saw Soviet tanks. You know, he said Siberia was on fire. He saw Moscow, the people there. You know, he went into a great description of all this. I won't go into it because I don't have the time right now. But it leaves me with this thought. You know, is Russia now on a path to conversion? Or is Russia on a path to fulfilling this particular prophecy? Now, again, Joseph Troyer was an ardent Ukrainian activist at the time. You know, I don't think Russia is converting. I know a lot of people say it is. I think we still need to pray for Russia. That's what the Virgin said in 1917. She warned about the rise of atheistic communism. She mentioned a nation named Russia by name. Like I said, the kids didn't even know what that was. In Russia, church attendance is at just 6%. It's lower than the U.S. I know a lot of people find that surprising. The abortion rate in Russia is more than twice as high. They lead the world in one recent survey. And Russia also had a survey of around, I think it was something like 480 abortions per 1,000 births. I mean, that's crazy. It's almost one out of two. I mean, it's not quite, but close. You know, some Kremlin experts accuse Putin of having a team that stages, you know, various events to portray him in various roles, including candle lighting. You know, some people say, "Oh, he's a Christian." I hear he's a Christian. Do you remember when, you know, Putin gosh, I think he knelt down. What was that one scene? I'm trying to remember where he was seen, you know, blessing himself with holy water. No, he's baptizing himself. I think he was getting in water or something along those lines. But bottom line is, I mean, how much can we trust Vladimir Putin? I'm not quite sure. I am not sure. But what the Virgin said, that the world is cold, she said, and it's spiritless, as it was before the flood. That's the second time I heard that message, because she said the same thing to Sister Agnes Sasagawa in a church-approved apparition. She warned of a chastisement to Sister Agnes Sasagawa. She says that it would be worse than the deluge and the great flood. Virgin says that the world is cold and spiritless as it was before the flood. And when the Virgin Mary looked into the future, you know, Joseph said, you know, he could see fire. Villages are burning. Water is burning. The very air was on fire. Everything was in flames. If people do not convert to Christ, the Virgin warned, there would be war. There shall be a great conflagration. She says, you've heard me today. You must go in the world and witness what is about to come. And that's what Joseph did. If Russia does not accept Christ the King, then perhaps the entire world faces suffering. Now, that's a private revelation. I'll leave it at that. It's just some food for thought. But I think it's a call for all of us to pray.